You are listening to Community Matters. I'm Jenny Tunkies, and welcome. I'm so pleased today to have as my guest Cameron Swallow. Now, Cameron wears many, many hats. She's involved in many things. For example, she's a bluegrass musician. She is a lover of singing harmony. She is an educator. She's wife of Carthage College President John Swallow. But today, what we're here to talk about is her role in helping all of us in our nation bridge the political polarization, the divide that separates us. And that is her role in the organization known as Braver Angels. Welcome, Cameron Swallow. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me, Jenny.
So tell me, just give me the overview on what Braver Angels is.
Right. Braver Angels was founded in late 2016 as a nonprofit, grassroots, but nationwide organization to depolarize the national political conversation, making reds and blues hate each other less since 2016.
Great. So 2016, it's 2023. Are we doomed?
I'm not going to give a one-word answer to that question, Jenny. But I do know in all seriousness that whether this project has some kind of end game measurable 100% victory success or not, I am satisfied and happy and engaged and proud to be part of the work along the way for whatever kind of intermediate successes that we can achieve while approaching that larger pie in the sky goal.
So I'm just going to say, I think that's a no, we're not doomed. I sense some positive energy from you that there's hope.
Right. Well, at Carthage last night, we had Stephen Olicara as a dinner guest, who's very much dedicated to holding space for the bipartisan conversation and productive engagement across difference in all areas of life, but particularly the political arena. And someone asked him that exact same question at the dinner table. And his answer was a slight slump to the shoulders, but a smile and a, well, you have to, don't you? You have to believe in potential and success and reward of the work that you're doing.
Right. Yeah. So Cameron, what drew you to this? How did you get involved in Braver Angels?
I started seeing Facebook posts on the walls of friends of friends. It wasn't anybody reaching out directly to me. But every time I saw something about this, I would click on it and learn something else and like it even more. And so by the time I got to the beginning of 2018, I was pretty convinced that this was something that I needed to investigate, not just to understand better, but to see how I could help, how I could be involved. And it also served a purpose for me of, you know, having moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin in the summer of 17 and not knowing how I was going to define my time and my role in my new adopted community. And I wasn't a full-time school teacher anymore. And I was trying to learn how to be the presidential spouse at Carthage College. And what was I going to do with my time? What projects was I going to sink my teeth into and embrace and dedicate myself to? And Braver Angels certainly became one of those important projects in the spring of 2018.
And it certainly draws on your strength as a longtime educator as well, yes?
Yes, teaching is theater and giving workshops is also theater. And so when I'm in presentation mode, it's a good time. So I've enjoyed that part of it. I didn't think I was going to like the pivot to the all online, all the time world of the pandemic, but Braver Angels came up with some really quality presentation materials and a system of Zoom team helpers so that I don't have to manage everything as the moderator of a workshop. And so even that was very pleasant for me too. But I will confess, I'm very happy to be giving workshops back in person again.
Great. And Cameron, you have a role, yes, statewide in the state of Wisconsin with Braver Angels.
Yes, it's a little embarrassing to talk about how that, I accepted that provisionally, and I guess that's a word to the wise. Don't accept something provisionally if you're not willing to continue doing it. But Braver Angels National had a convention in St. Louis, Missouri in 2019. We're about to have our next one that's in person since then. We have not met nationally in person since that time in St. Louis. And at that time, the goal of the national organization was to say they had active chapters, active balanced leadership in all 50 states. And Wisconsin was one on their list that didn't have leaders. And I was a moderator and giving workshops occasionally by the summer of 2019. And they said, come on, Cameron, you can be the state leader. And I said, you don't know my skill set. You've never worked with me. You want me to be your presenter and your moderator of workshops. You don't want me to be your manager of data and coordinator of people and events. And they said, yeah, but you'll do it, right? And I said, yeah, okay, until you get somebody with the right skill set. And here I still am.
So again, going back to those educator roots, you educated yourself and they couldn't let you go. That's
that could be someone's story. It is not mine.
So now, Cameron, I don't expect you to have all the answers to how it is we got here, but how do we get here? How do we get in this position of such deep, what feels like overwhelming, deep-seated polarization in the United States? Just maybe share some of your thoughts.
I didn't have deep thoughts about how we got here when I first recognized that we were here. I wasn't really thinking far beyond the disruption of the 2016 election and the sudden sort of shamefaced tuning into current events and politics of a whole lot of people in my category who had just sort of coasted along in the luxury of not feeling like they needed to tune in unless there was a high profile, high stakes election at a particular moment, and then you could tune in and do just enough at the right time and go on. But I wasn't paying attention. And I've done a whole lot of reading since then. And I do have ideas of how we got here. I think that we've been taught to be more polarized ever since the Newt Gingrich era in DC, when it became suspect for insiders in Washington to spend more time in Washington than they did in their home district. And you're supposed to have only the loyalty to the people that you represent and not be buddy-buddy with your enemies in Washington. But that really began to gum up the system in Washington because people were afraid to be seen fraternizing with the enemy. And it became a mark against your character if you weren't spending all your time and energy lobbying for your own constituency against everybody else. And so all the relationships in Washington, which used to be about the art of the possible and make a coalition here and a coalition there, and I'll give you this, you give me this. And I'm sure there's still some of that, but there is more and more no compromise at any cost. And my impression is that that is where it started.
And just, I'll try to be brief on my personal theory. I was a newspaper reporter and editor for 21 years. And I remember so clearly in the early 2000s being so nervous for our nation as I saw the rise of political opinion networks devoted to 24/7, not news. I don't think it's fair to call them news, but opinion coverage, and see on both sides, and seeing people pulled into that while the newspaper industry shrunk and shrunk, kept shrinking, losing readership. What I saw, obviously, as a practitioner of news was the attempt to provide news coverage in an unbiased way was falling away as opinions took on more and more prevalence and more focus. So people started existing in their echo chambers, and now it's just been exponential that you see people operating that way. So they think that everyone thinks like them because that's the only news, you know, quote unquote news programs they tune into are people who agree with them. So they're so taken aback by some differing opinions.
Right. That's certainly a huge part of the landscape that wasn't true in my childhood. You know, I knew conservatives that might complain about a liberal bias in NPR, but they still listened to NPR, right? It was a common source, and we've lost our sense of a common news source. And I guess I'll go further. I'll say you, as a practitioner of local news, have seen local news diminish and dwindle and even die in a lot of places. And when local news dies, what you're left with in the local communities is an attachment to the national opinion ecosystem, which translates down to the local level as pure and harsh ideology. You know, there's no sense that it's your neighbor that you're pitted against. It's the great evil on the other side as represented by the worst of the national lunatic fringe on whichever side you're opposed to. And then you are left with no choice because you've got no local news to and no local civic organizations to soften that blow. You're left with no choice but to paint your neighbor with that same ideological brush that you've gotten from the national news.
Absolutely. Just a reminder, you are listening to WGTD FM 91.1. This is Community Matters, and I am talking today to Cameron Swallow about Braver Angels, which is working to bridge the political divide in our country, bringing together, quote unquote, red, which is generally considered Republican or conservative, and blue, generally considered Democrats or liberals, getting people to find their common goals together rather than what drives them apart. So, Cameron, you mentioned the pandemic, and we've just heard this week talk about there being this epidemic now of isolation and loneliness, an unintended consequence of our experience with COVID-19. Do you see that as being part and parcel of sort of fueling this divide that's been created?
Do I think that the pandemic increased the divide and the polarization?
The loneliness and the isolation that came from the pandemic.
I guess mildly, yes. I think that there are other consequences of loneliness and isolation that we're seeing in sort of more bold-faced type right now, like mental illness and gun violence, as that you could draw direct links back to the isolation and loneliness of the pandemic. But did it also increase people's sense of polarization because they spent more time online and had more contact with the polarizing news sources? Yes, probably that also.
Mm-hmm. It just seems to me that when you had so much alone time, it's easy to just tune into voices that seem soothing or familiar, or again, feed into the echo chamber of what you already might think is true and just kind of feel that.
I spent a lot of time in the pandemic, though, reading things across those differences that I was talking to you about, you know, and I know that a lot of people did a lot of reading about racial history in America and things that they didn't know already, right? Exposing themselves to sources that they hadn't already known in their regular life. And I was doing that also with political history and political points of view and trying to understand another kind of difference.
Let's talk a little bit about the workshops that Braver Angels sponsors and that you've been involved in and are available. Mm-hmm. What are some of those?
Well, I would put the offerings of Braver Angels into three major categories. I mean, things that you would contact me to come and give or offer to your congregation or your neighborhood or the community at large through the public library, et cetera. The first category is experiential workshops. The second category is training workshops. And the third category is an interactive Braver Angels debate. Back to that first category, the experiential workshops is where Braver Angels started. They got 10 people who had voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016 and 10 people who had voted for Donald Trump in 2016. They got them in a single meeting space for a full weekend, and they put them through a curriculum written by a family therapist, you know, someone who deals with divorce and separation and reconciliation. And so often Braver Angels is spoken of in terms of family counseling. And they brought the reds and the blues together across difference to see if there was room for common ground. And universally, everyone left with the impression that, oh my goodness, we are not as far apart as we are being told we are, which is the hopeful message that I see after every one of these experiential workshops. Okay. Then people realized that the experiential workshops were a lot of work to put together, and sometimes that work could be hindered or hampered by the fact that some of the participants were not as well prepared as they could have been for the right kind of interaction with the other political side. And so some training workshops were born. And that's what I give the most often because it takes less preparation for the hosting community. You don't have to balance how many reds and how many blues are coming. You don't have to give a whole day. You can get this done in 2.5 hours. So I give these much more often and then hope that someone who's given one of the training workshops, like Skills for Bridging the Divide or Depolarizing Within or Families and Politics, that those communities might decide, we liked this, we've been trained now, let's have one of the experiential workshops. But like I said, those are harder to plan because you have to get exactly equal numbers of reds and blues to commit to give a day to the project. Mm-hmm. And then that third category has had a lot of success in national Zooms and college campus programs, and it's called Braver Angels Debates. And we always have to reassure people, we hasten to reassure people that they are not like presidential debates, and they are also not like competitive high school forensic society debates. You're not trying to make as airtight an argument as possible to score as many rhetorical points and bash your opponent into oblivion. You are trying to state your own belief, opinion, approach, and particularly the anecdotal history that brought you to that belief, opinion, or approach. And someone speaks for the resolution, takes questions that are deflected through the chair so that nothing's too harsh or confrontational. And then someone speaks against the resolution and again takes questions through the chair. And then someone else from the crowd gets up. Anyone can volunteer to speak. Anyone can be called upon to speak. It's at the chair's discretion, and anyone can ask a question. And it really does feel as if the whole group, I've had a debate for as few as 15 and for as many as 100. And it really does feel like everyone is involved in the conversation. So that's my favorite quick introduction to Braver Angels events, the experiential, the training, and the debates.
Great. When people get involved, I know they get a frequent email from the Braver Angels organization. And one topic that I saw on that email recently was the golden rule concept and how to bring that back. Is that something that the organization has talked about a little, about how to encourage people to treat others as they want to be treated and use that as a guide?
Well, certainly. I have a different name for that foundational principle, which I call rehumanizing. And so, but an extension of the definition of allowing other people to be human is that you extend the golden rule to them. So yes, Braver Angels tries hard to remind every individual that even the extremists who might have said something you find appalling and horrifying and that you're tempted to paint with that broad brush of ideology and want to cast them into outer darkness as beyond redemption, they're a human being too. And if you had them in that Braver Angels debate space, telling their story with their particular path to the moment in which they said that thing that appalled you, then you might reach a different understanding of their position, how they came to it, how it might not be permanent, how it might be involved completely in a certain circumstance. There are all kinds of variables. And if we allow people to be human, then we can allow them to have those exceptions and those eccentricities and those quirks. And they don't just have to be either evil or stupid in order to disagree with us.
Okay. Have you, through the workshops and the events that you've hosted or helped conduct, have you seen evidence of people being able to come together? Have you seen points of light and I guess sort of exceptional instances of communication?
Yes, there are points of light in every event that I do. Somebody's eyebrows go up. It's like, oh, I didn't expect to hear that from the likes of you. You know, the assumptions get undermined when people meet face to face. And at the beginning of the pandemic, I was terrified that that wasn't going to happen in an online workshop, but it still does. People can have that moment of revelation of, oh, I didn't expect to hear that, you know? And there are these clever ways of using the Zoom boxes and getting people to hide their video so that only certain people appear to have a visible conversation. And then the people turn off their video and turn on their video. And then there's a different group that's being shown and having a conversation to be observed. And they start to believe that they're the only ones talking, and they forget that they have an audience. And the audience starts to believe that they're just a fly on the wall getting to listen in on how the other side talks among themselves. And it's brilliant. And there's never a time that I've left a workshop without knowing that people have learned something that they would not have known otherwise.
Well, that's definitely very hopeful. That's a whole way to look at it. And, you know, have you heard back from one of the things that often people mention is, you know, I'm worried about going to Thanksgiving or a family wedding or a birthday party because we always clash politically. Have you heard stories of people having had this opportunity to examine their own internal polarization or learn ways of talking to others that then manifested in success stories and at family events?
Yes. I mean, any teacher knows that it's a relatively rare occurrence for a student to take the trouble to come back and communicate, I learned this very valuable thing from you and it served me in this way. Especially if you teach middle school. But yes, I've had those gratifying experiences of, I went to the Braver Angels depolarizing workshop about families and politics, which was strategically held in early November. And it really did make a difference in my Thanksgiving conversations. I was able to have that conversation with my sister-in-law, and we could talk about something besides the pumpkin pie in safety.
That's wonderful. You are listening to WGTD HD FM 91.1. This is Community Matters. I'm talking to Cameron Swallow today about her involvement in Braver Angels, the nonprofit organization in the nation that works to help bring together the bridge the political and partisan divide. So thanks again, Cameron, for being here. So now you talked about there's going to be a Braver Angels convention, and the last one was in person, and the last in-person one was in 2019, and you met somebody famous in 2019 in an elevator, right? Wasn't that at a convention?
Oh, that's true. That was at that convention that I met Peter Yarrow, who was an early adopter of Braver Angels, the Braver Angels depolarization cause. Yes, and we harmonized in the elevator to the student dorms where the delegates were housed on the Wash U campus in St. Louis. So, yes, that was a lovely, beautiful moment. And from there, I got involved with the Braver Angels music team, which put on a songwriting contest in 2020, which wasn't intended as a pandemic pastime, but it turned into one because most of the, well, actually, all of the active part of the, the window of accepting submissions for the songwriting contest, it was all under lockdown. And it was a great addition to the Braver Angels mission because in music, people were engaging a new audience and they were engaging their old audience in a different way, engaging hearts as well as minds in the depolarization bridge building effort. And now in 2023, we are currently engaged. We are in the window of the second songwriting contest. It ends May 12th, so get your submissions in.
Great. Now, I know this is public radio, so I can assume most listeners know who Peter Yarrow is, but you might want to
Oh,
explain.
right. Yes, especially if you're under 50, you might not know that that's Peter, Paul, and Mary, who, made and remade the folk scene in the 1960s America and had their own very distinctive trio sound.
Right. Peter, Paul, and Mary, absolutely. And and you got to sing with him, which I think is fantastic and exercise your love of harmony. So I bet he was great to harmonize with.
Right. And now that we have Braver Angels music as a, not just a one-time songwriting contest event, but as really part of the Braver Angels mission, we can talk about harmony literally and metaphorically.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was good. So, how many submissions have you been getting for the songwriting contest?
We're a little over half done, and we've got about 75. So we are hoping that that's less than half the total. We would like to have 200 by the time we get to mid-May, but we will take whatever we can get, and the winning song contribution will be invited with their transportation paid to play their song at the convention in July in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania.
Fun. Oh, that's wonderful. Are you part of judging the contestants? Is no.
No, I am a lowly volunteer that coordinates other volunteers who are listening to the songs and categorizing them in several different ways on a spreadsheet to give the judges as much upfront information as possible so that their job is easier in the final judging round.
Okay, sounds great. So songwriting contest, May 12th, I believe you said is the deadline.
Is the deadline, yes. And
So
winners will be announced on the 4th of June, and the content the sorry, the convention where it will be aired will be July 5th through 8th.
great. So and generally speaking, is one to write a song about depolarization
Such a good question, Jenny. This is, in fact, I just had an inquiry today from a songwriter saying, does my song have to be an anthem of reconciliation? I said, no. And she said, I have this song that's like a conversation between you know, someone on this side and someone on that side of the gun violence issue, and they both ended up dying in this particular incident. And the song, the each verse of the song is from the two different points of view. And is that too dark? Can I, should I not enter that song? I said, no, you should definitely enter that song, because we are valuing both songs about bridge building, like those anthems, and songs that are examples of bridge building, where two people, even, you know, in the imagined scenario, get to talk and tell their stories from different points of view.
If someone wants to learn more about that song contest or about getting involved with Braver Angels, what can they do?
Well, the easy one-stop shop there is www.braverangels.org. And from there, you'll see a tab that says what we do. And you'll see a tab that talks about Braver Angels music. And under Braver Angels music, you'll see the songwriting contest.
Great. And then also how to participate in workshops or learn more information about workshops or trainings.
On that landing page at braverangels.org, you'll see find an event, and you could find things that are open to visitors. Even if they're being held in New Hampshire, they, and if it's a Zoom meeting, they might be welcoming somebody from Wisconsin to their meeting, or you could find something that is within driving distance, or you'll find a way to inquire about how to book an event. And but if you don't want to look at the website and you're in this area and you want to book an event, you can also just email me at cameron.swallow at gmail.com.
Great. Do you have any workshops or trainings coming up in the next couple of months?
No. My last in-person thing that was on the calendar for the spring was the Rotary Tri-Con in La Crosse, Wisconsin, this past weekend. And it was fabulous. We did a debate on resolved. The United States government should mandate vaccines to protect the public health. We had someone speak for it with questions, had someone speak against it with questions. Everybody got to participate. It was fantastic. But I'm happy to talk about planning and scheduling other events locally or statewide.
Great. And again, that's cameron.swallow@gmail.com, correct?
Correct.
Great. So I can't let you go without talking about your other hat, which is Flat Creek Highway, your bluegrass group. So what's going on with Flat Creek Highway?
Well, we're playing a new venue up in Wrightstown, Wisconsin, where I've never been. It's a converted old former church building, and it's now called, rechristened, Turner Street Music Hall. And they have listening concerts. So it's not dance music at the bar, but a concert where people come and listen to the band play. And it's going to be Sunday afternoon from 4 to 6. And if anybody wants a road trip up north, come join us.
Great. So tell us a little bit about what you do in the bluegrass band Flat Creek Highway.
Well, I play rhythm guitar and sing. We have 3-part vocals, and we have banjo, mandolin, fiddle, and bass around the rhythm guitar, all doing much more interesting things than the rhythm guitar. An interesting way that bluegrass seems to fit with Braver Angels is that many, many bluegrass bands and bluegrass fans span the political divide. Both of the bands that I've been significantly part of have included both red and blue members. And so we have been an example of the bridge building that Braver Angels is trying to get more people to try.
Absolutely. Well, and I think bands, being involved in a band is much like being involved in a family. And certainly the skill sets one would learn to discuss politics within your family would transfer into your involvement in a band, because it certainly, you get your disagreements. And
so my newest idea is that Milwaukee and Chicago have agreed to host the two political conventions in the summer of 24. And I think this is an extraordinary opportunity for the Midwest in general, but for Rotary clubs in Wisconsin and Illinois in particular, to use a partnership with Braver Angels to roll out an identical Midwestern welcome mat to both conventions.
Oh, that's an excellent idea.
And it should include bluegrass music.
That is a great idea. It's interesting that it's Chicago and Milwaukee, and we here in the Kenosha, Racine, Walworth areas are going to be impacted with both events being so close. So I think this is a great opportunity. Are the Braver Angels folks talking to both parties on how to get something like that going?
They are now. I mean, the idea has just been hatched and is beginning to be shared. So I am hopeful, but have no idea what to expect.
Well, that would be very exciting. Even if you have an opportunity to host mini workshops, Braver Angels, at both conventions, I think that would be wonderful learning experiences for people to participate. Mm-hmm. So again, give us the website for Braver Angels.
www.braverangels.org.
Great. And your email, if people need to learn more about how to have a workshop, how to participate, or how to submit a song for your song contest.
Cameron.Swallow@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, Cameron Swallow, it has been so wonderful to have you here on the program. And I thank you so much for your participation and for all you do in our communities. It's really wonderful to talk to you today.
Thanks for the invitation, Jenny.
Thank you again. You have been listening to WGTD HD FM 91.1. I'm Jenny Tunkies, and this is Community Matters. Have a great day.